Well, 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 what a special treat we have tonight. Spags, you and I reunited for a boozy best ball draft.
You're paying off a bit. I guess last summer, Pete thrived hitting his subscriber goals for the bet that we had made, and finally Splash Play passed theirs in the back half of 2023. But now it's a new year, Pete, a new big board, and I'm excited to spend some time with you on a Saturday night. And I guess I'll leave it to you to set the rules. I've had two beers already, so I came prepped.
Yeah, I think this is my second. So I was trying to get a little bit of a head start. A head start for me these days, though, is a lot different than it used to be. So I think the premise for tonight, in a few minutes, we're going to hop in a draft. And we've established a drinking game. There's not like a bingo card of phrases or things we're going to say. No, before every pick, Spags and I are going to write down on a piece of paper. I got some note cards ready here. Who we think we should take. And obviously the game is we're wanting to be on the same page. If we're on the same page, great. We make the pick, we move on. If we have different names written down, we each have to take a drink. So it could get boozy fast. If we miss out on all
card memo, I'm just going to have to say mine. I guess.
Oh, I thought I told you we were writing it down.
Well, you said that it was like, we had to decide in advance. I didn't know it was going to be written down. I fucked up that part.
It'll work because it's just really one of us has to write it down, right? So as long as mine is ahead of
I want you to process, I promise. And I said, okay. You know, we came with this concept in part because Pete's being sober right now, which I know you've talked about with Davis Matic, but what is the decision here? Like you've already been jacked for years. Like what else do you need to do?
It's not even honestly, the most part of it is I've been trying to get way better sleep. And I like when I drink, that's like one of the easiest things that messes up my sleep. So yeah. And I've had a few drinks. I actually haven't had beer in a while. You know, I've had a couple glasses of wine, couple cocktails over the past few months. But yeah, no beer lately. So yeah, these Modelos are going to hit me hard. Although I will say I missed them. It's tasting pretty good right now.
Is that a Modelo Negra?
No, Especial. Yeah.
Okay. Cause yeah, we got a case of them from my father-in-law. I mentioned this on stream the other day, but he had gotten them for his car mechanic. Cause his car mechanic like loved Modelo Negras, and the guy just like left the job all of a sudden without, I guess, my father-in-law knowing. So we ended up with a case of them, and I've been like enjoying the Modelo Negras. I feel like they're like a nice, like you have one beer and that's enough of the taste. And then you can kind of tap out.
Yeah. I like Negras. I'm a little more seasonal with them. I like them in the fall. It's getting a little warmer here on the East Coast, as you know. So now I'm ready to transition into a Especial territory, but like a mechanic, like Modelo is still the drink of the people. I know it's been like co-opted by UFC and now all these other folks, but Modelo is a true salt of the earth kind of beer.
I love you attacking UFC too, because we're going head to head with UFC 300, which somebody left a comment about it. We're against the prelims though, so I feel like we're okay, but people are really like stoked about UFC, and you did an episode about it of LOL, so you might be in the boat as well.
Yeah, I mean, I used to love playing DFS for UFC. It's a fun, you know, DFS sport. But I've been like too busy now. That was like pre-kid, you know, like you sit around on a Saturday afternoon, right? And you can like build your lineups and stuff. And as you know, on the weekends, how much time do you have to spend like 2 hours like running sims and tweaking with MMA lineups? So it is one of the things that did not make the cut post-kid. But yeah, it seems like a fun card. But when you combine not having time to make lineups, and there's no way in hell I'm staying up until like 1 a.m. when the final events are going to be, I was just like, you know what? Who cares?
What has been the biggest change for you with the child post-child life? Because for me, like NBA DFS left because that's one where you have to be online, you know, 7 p.m. every night, at least that last hour, making lineups, and you have to be updating throughout the night, which has been a thing that, you know, DraftKings has tried to address. But for me, that was the first cut. Like what really got cut for you? Because you manage your stream schedule. Like what have you had to shift the most?
I really do think it was a lot of that stuff, like just kind of the fun, like DFS play watching. Yeah. Like one of the things I miss is just like having a random Saturday where Lauren and I would be like, let's just binge watch a TV show. Like we are, it took us like forever to get through the Oscar noms. We're watching Three Body Problem right now. And it's like one episode every three nights. And I'm like hooked on it. And I'm just like, even tonight I said, I like apologized to Lauren. I was like, yeah, sorry, we can't watch another Three Body Problem tonight. I feel like it's just like little stuff like that, which again, small sacrifices in the grand scheme of things, but getting to luxuriate and being lazy is definitely what gets axed.
You're watching Shogun too, right?
Yes, which is so fucking good.
Shogun's great. I mean, that's like, to me, that's the Game of Thrones level of high art. I've not watched Three Body Problem. Alex, like big reader. She said the books are really good, so she wants to watch it. I haven't gotten there. I feel like I'm going to try Fallout next, but Shogun to me is like, it cut through the noise, which I think is the hardest part at this point when you do have the child and you just have your kind of comfy routines of watching How I Met Your Mother like we have.
Yeah. And it is funny. Like, I'm enjoying Three Body Problem, but going from Shogun to Three Body, it was like, you realize like Shogun is just operating on another level as far as like what TV can do. And then Three Body's like, yeah, this is like a fun Netflix style show. Like, you know, keeps you engaged, but Shogun, the amount that they get out of their actors with so little dialogue, just like the reactions, they've just set the table to where every scene means something. And yeah, it's phenomenal. I'm sad there's only two shows or episodes, and I'm sad that this is like just a single season of television. Like, there's not going to be a second season of Shogun.
Yeah, it's, I mean, we both have a Japan thing though, because Japan, like, that was your big pre-COVID thing, right? You were gonna go to Japan.
Yeah.
And like, we've had that same dream too of like, we want to go to Japan. And obviously if you go to Japan now, you're probably not getting Shogun. If you go there, I have to assume, I don't know firsthand, but I think that's part of it too, where it's like the allure. And I feel like that country is just like, it's so interesting, the history they have and like the respect for tradition. I feel like that's something, not to be full MAGA mode here right away, but I feel like that's something where it's like, I can't relate to that at all.
Yeah. And I just want you to know, like, if we can't agree on a pick tonight, one of us will have to commit seppuku instead of finishing the stream. That's the level of honor.
And it's like, it's, you gotta shove the knife around, see where the sword around. It's like, it can't just be a straight cut. You're just jiggling it. It doesn't seem like a good time.
At least they made an addendum. I didn't know this part of like the seppuku, the seconding of being like, let's expedite this by someone coming behind you and chopping your head off. Like, at least they do that, right? As opposed to, we're gonna let you have a slow agonizing death as you bleed out from your intestines.
Oh, all the Japan fans, Japan fans coming in peace here talking about how great it is, which I'm sure is. I have a friend right now on Instagram who I see who's going out and like all the sushi places, and like, and she's not like a master, you know, influencer photographer or anything, but like just the photos of regular sushi. I'm like, God, I wish I need that in my life so bad.
Yeah, we had, it tilts me every time I talk about it. We had booked multiple reservations. One, we, you know, the chalk Hero Dreams of Sushi restaurant.
Oh, that's so hard to get though, right?
Yeah, it was very hard to get. And yeah, and letting that go pained me very much.
Oh, well, glad to open that wound.
But you know what? If this is what I tell myself, Spags, if that trip didn't get canceled because of COVID, I wouldn't have started streaming around the clock. I probably would have been much slower to leave my job. You and I would have never have met, and we wouldn't be doing this stream right now if it weren't for me not getting to go to Japan.
I guess, how do you feel about that? Because, you know, we're talking about COVID briefly, and we are going to hop in the draft. And I know we're going to do, I guess, more convo, at least with the other guys doing Best Ball After Dark. For us, it might just be us shitting on each other and having that be the hour of it. But like, for you, you kind of set a trend with that time period where you went after it, obviously having Brick involved too, but doing the drafts, doing all that. And now it's like, you know, for me, it's been a pathway I've followed. Other people out there, they're trying to follow what you've done, then proxy what I've done. And it's interesting because like, it's a thing for me, like, you're the trailblazer and kind of making this content work and, you know, having it be a viable pathway.
Well, and I mean, I listen to interviews across like a bunch of different stuff. Like, you'll hear entrepreneurs and like so many people were like, yeah, and then I just started my business when COVID hit. Like, I feel like it was a lot of people who used it as an opportunity to pivot, partly because you're just stuck at home and you're wanting to get creative. And you're like, wow, I do actually have some time on my hands. I'm not just going to play League of Legends DFS around the clock. Why don't I try to do something vaguely productive? So yeah, it is truly, I think like both of us and lots of people would have gotten here or whatever here means eventually, but that certainly like expedited things in a way that I'm very thankful for.
You have like the poker guys doing similar things. And I know that's something I've heard, but I feel like for you, you were the first one to put drafts out there. Obviously the ship chasing guys too. And Pat, by the way, I think we're talking about children with that, yeah, missing the big thing. Pat Corain has a baby girl, which you guys both being girl dads, Luca's option pool is getting bigger. By
I know. I mean, I'm already offended by one of the jokes you made right when April was born about trying to matchmake them. Yeah, so Gretch has two daughters, obviously myself and now Pat. So yeah, we're full girl dad, you know, four girls between us now.
So who's got the highest testosterone amongst us all? I think that's the question we have to ask.
Is there a direct correlation between testosterone and having boys?
I thought I was going to have a girl. Like, I thought the karmic parts of, you know, being a single guy in New York and LA for my 20s and early 30s, I thought that would catch up. And instead I got a boy who's just now a meathead who smashes his head like five times a day.
Yeah. I took April, like, I take her to this like little gym class thing and no one showed up for her age group today. And so she basically just had like a one-on-one, and then they have the older kids class after, like two and up. And I was like, you know, let's just stay for this, because she didn't really get a socialized class, and they were all kids that sound like Luca. And it was too overwhelming. I was like, not only are these kids way older than you, but they're a bunch of boys and they're just like ramming themselves into things. And I'm like, all right, this is too much for my 16-month-old girl. We're getting you out of this situation.
It's all the perspective though, because Luke has been to some of those like indoor play area things and outdoor ones too. And it's like the older kids just shove the little kids around no matter what. So I feel like that it's just the food chain of it all, even though like I agree. Like it's as the parent, you're like, please fucking be careful around my kid.
Yeah. It's tough to balance because you like that element of them figuring things out. But on the other hand, you see what some of these boys are like. I always remember Ricky Beers in the Posit Kingdom Discord. He was just like, little girls are angels and little boys are assholes. And, that has been, true to my experience so far.
So Pete was saying that we should offer it up to everybody. I didn't realize we're going to hop in a room that had most of the people already in it. So we are already in a draft room here, Pete. Do we feel like your screen size is adequate now? I've resized. I redid things. I also, moving background thing, I know you're doing that. I did a moving background. You see the sun moving across the screen now? We got...
Oh, look at you. Let's go to the draft board because I need to know how quickly we need to... What are we at? 1-7?
So we're in the middle. So this is perfect for the bit.
Yeah. So I think the way this is going to have to flow, and this is nice that we're in the middle, because this is randomizer-esque. When you're on the turn, it's way more chaotic to do challenges. Right before we're about to pick, I will start writing down who I think we should take. And this is where I think this gets fun, right? This is almost like the apples to apples thing, right? We're like not writing down what we want. We're writing down or saying what we think the other person is going to say, right? Because we want to be collective. We're not just both writing down individually who we want to take, right? We're trying to like find that middle ground of the hive mind, I think.
So, I mean, and then I think with every round, if we disagree, then I would say it has to be a swig, right? It can't be a sip. Because if we agree on 10 out of 20, you know, it's not going to be, we're not going to get the full effect.
I want to see from the chat, what do you guys think out of these 20 picks, how many we agree on? I think this is going to be harder than people think. Like, even if you and I like had the exact same drafting preferences, which I think we do have a lot of similarities, I still think there'd be so much deviation in individual picks.
Well, I guess we'll find out with this one coming up here. So we're at pick 7. We'll look at the board in a moment. I do want to read this chat from Consigliere, of course, a diehard here of both Pete's streams, my streams here, of course, on Splashplay and our combined ones. Are you making After Dark available for Splashplay subscribers? Someone kicked me out with my randomizer sub. You put it for free tonight, right? Because nobody's paying for me to come behind the paywall. I get that. Sam Hoppin, maybe Josh Norris, they might. For me, they just want to see it for free if they want.
I didn't mean to put it for free. I will definitely... make sure it's for members only, but how about this? I will make it all tiers. Normally I make it just best ball value hounds. But I will make it members only, all channel members. So you are in the clear for tonight, Consigliere.
Right, there we go. And of course I did put the link here in the pinned comments as well. If you want to join Pete's channel, I think we now have enough people who are on this channel that might not be subscribed to Pete's. And of course you get access to Deposit Kingdom, all the Pete's ears, which I think is a great thing. And I feel like Pete, the Deposit Kingdom for you, obviously a great part of your portfolio, but like really moving along. And also you need to put your pick on a card.
All right. Yeah. So this one I have, all right. I got to make I'm actually changing. Okay. All right. I wrote down who I think. Who do you think we should take?
I think Amon-Ra.
Yeah. Okay. I was going to write down Breece and I knew you were going to say Amon-Ra. So we got that one right.
I thought you were going to go Breece. I guess I should have I should have followed you. If I wanted to get you drunk, I should have gone with Breece.
That is. Yeah. Well, that's why there's the gamesmanship, right? Because it's like, if it was me, I was going to take Breece. So I literally wrote B down on the first card. I was going to start writing Breece. And then I was like, no, I remember Spags is not a Breece guy. He doesn't want to be a running back piggy in the first round. So he's going to take Amon-Ra.
I mean, for us doing a draft together, which we haven't done a draft together since like last February, I feel like, because that was when we switched to the versus mode. Like, I think we have to go zero RB. We can't go little RB piggies at this point.
Well, you know what? The chat might think this is a little bit of cheating, like to talk about our strategy ahead of time, because that funnels us to more similarities here. You know what I mean? So I think we should
Good point.
we should live in the moment of each pick a little bit more.
How do you feel about approaching running back early? Because I've been pretty diehard on first seven running backs. I feel good enough where I'm willing to break the chains of zero RB to do that. But like after that, you know, Josh Jacobs, I see the merits. Derrick Henry, I see the merits. But both guys analytically, I guess in particular, Jacobs, not that great last year. Like, how do you feel about approaching RB? Like, are you going bimodal more? Or like, what are you doing for your approach?
The thing is, like, even if you wanted to be a running back piggy, like if you want to do a hyper fragile draft, there's one running back in the third round. It's Josh Jacobs. And then there's like two running backs in the fourth round, you know, Derrick Henry and ETN. And then there's like James Cook and then another gap. So it's like, even if you want to do that, you would basically have to be reaching like way ahead of ADP to even have that kind of build. So yeah, no, I think I have one double anchor RB in my big board portfolio. Let me see the available players here.
Oh yeah. You got to make your pick here.
Yeah, well, once this pick goes, okay, I'm going to write down who I think.
This clock is weird, too. Our clock started at 21, so things are.
Say yours. Who do you want?
I'll go Devon Achane.
Oh, see, I thought you just said you didn't want to be running back. I thought for sure you'd want Drake London there.
I got to give the people what they want. I got to make you drink.
All right. Cheers.
Devon, hey, cheers to Pete. Hey, glad to be reunited here once again. And again, I'm going to make Pete drink if I can. Though Achane, I'm happy with. Like, I
like Achane too, but I just thought for sure you were going to be like, hey, let's keep pissing yellow.
Now, I agree for the most part, but again, I had to make you drink once here to start it off. We know what the content is. People have to see one drink to know that we'll have some throughout. So that's the payoff. Well, number two, Drake London, I'm okay with. I'm tired of paying the steep Drake London price tag. Like, I've seen enough people projecting out there trying to figure out like how the Atlanta offense works. I still buy in. I think they're kind of the Detroit of this year where they're chalk in terms of the expectation of them rising, but I think they're going to rise. I'm still tired of taking Drake London, and I'm going to take enough Achane right now. So that's basically it.
Yeah, I've taken a decent amount of Achane because I basically don't take Taylor and Barkley at all. I wanted to start getting more Taylor. Like, Sean has started making a pretty convincing argument. He was one of the guys I talked about in that video where I was comparing rankings from Leg Up, ETR, and RotoViz. And ETR and Leg Up were both way bearish on Taylor, and Sean is like slightly ahead of market still. And I just read a Gretsch post this morning. He's back in on Taylor. So those guys swang me. But outside of that, like, Achane has been really my only running back target in round two.
What do you think the split is between Achane and Mostert? Because I think best case scenario for Achane, he's getting a 60-40 split favoring him. I think it's more likely 50-50. And at least until, like, you know, maybe the wheels can fall off for Mostert, but the ADP in general, I don't love. I think he should be maybe 30s when you account for that risk. But like, how do you feel about the split?
Yeah, I guess I'm like, maybe this is just such a bad take, but it's like, I don't care. I'm drafting Achane for like the explosive plays. And I think the thing that's nice about Achane, right, is it's like, he didn't get pigeonholed into not being like a goal line back. We would see them use him a lot around the goal line and even like creative stuff. So I feel like I just want him to get his 12 to 15 touches a game, stay healthy, and do Achane things. Like, that's what I'm doing, which is like similar. Isn't it pretty similar for Gibbs too? You know, in that way where it's do you really have to worry about the split that much? You're banking on the high end efficiency. And then we're hoping that one of those nuke games, 30 plus points, comes in week 16 or 17. Like, that's basically what you're hoping for. And both Achane and Gibbs are capable of doing that.
So I have to show you the board. Malik Nabers going at the turn pretty reliably now. I love Malik Nabers. I think he's really impressive. I think he's got the case to be, you know, 1A, 1B with Marvin Harrison. That said, his outcomes, Pete, I know you write about this a lot with the, you know, the Fantasy Life newsletter in particular. I feel like Nabers' outcomes in terms of where he's going to land, they get worse by the day in terms of where he's going to go. The Titans, he's going to go to the Giants. Like, I don't like either of those spots.
Titans would be brutal because then you have like target competition and bad quarterback play. At least with the Giants, you know, you have zero target competition and you have Daboll, who's like proven historically. Okay.
This is a brutal board. We're not getting great picks for ourselves here.
See, and I feel bad. I haven't been watching as many of your streams, so I don't even know where you're at, but say who you want.
All right. I got Laporta.
Ah, fuck. I thought you were still a Pittman slappy.
I hate this price tag for Pittman. I'm taking Laporta here.
It's not even that different from last year. What? It's like a round and a half different?
Yeah, he was in the mid-50s most of last year, like 60s, 70s after that. Now at 30, I think they're going to add somebody. I still believe in AR a lot. Like, I think he's going to be great, but now the price tag is too public. And that's my whole thing is like, when things get too public, I kind of want to dial back.
Man, I thought you were a zero. You know what? I should have known with Amon Ra that you would have been more willing. But when I see Spags, Michael Pittman jumps off the page. And it's not even that you like Michael Pittman. It's just you go, I got to stack him with Anthony.
It's that I think I also, like, I know the rookie receivers enough that we can manage those pockets, but we have to drink now. So
yeah,
we disagreed again. Hey, cheers.
We're one for three here.
One for three, yeah. 33% clip. Great in baseball, not great in basketball. That'd be how that goes. But look, we have to make it up a receiver. We got zero RB guys right next to us here. So
I've been trying to make it up with receiver. I've picked two receivers these past rounds. You're the one that keeps going off the beaten path.
I did promise Pete that I wasn't like this premise would keep him from not getting too drunk. But I feel like this is just the board is speaking to me in a certain way. I'm following. It's like a Ouija board. I'm just following it without even control.
But remember, again, I am trying to meet in the middle here, and you're just jamming your agenda down our throat. There's no meeting in the middle with these picks.
Okay, I'll try to meet in the middle more. Look, we're going to have to hit receiver now. Like, we've made our choices, so I think we're on the same page. But the Detroit stack, I'm still happy to get this Detroit combo.
Yeah, I like the Detroit stack. I will say, like, I don't mind doing double elite tight end build.
I agree with you.
I don't do it as much with Laporta. And I think the reason I don't have as much Laporta is just because I love the prices on all the fifth round and sixth round guys a ton. And so generally I feel like there'll come a point in the fifth, sixth or seventh round where you're like, man, the tight end is still the best pick here. I kind of wish I had a wide receiver in the third instead.
All right. What are we going to write down here? my pick was going to be Romo Odunze. That's gone now.
Yeah. Hang on. Don't say anything.
Yeah.
All right, I'm writing a name down. Who do you want?
T. Higgins.
Yes. Okay. I knew it.
We got boxed out a receiver pretty bad. That's not a good time.
I assumed you wanted to, for lack of a better word, swerve the Rashee Rice pick there and go down to the next available wide receiver.
It's not a bad value. Where were you with Rashee Rice this entire time? Because I've watched your streams. I feel like you haven't had a big Rashee Rice take before unless I entirely miss it, which is possible. Like, for me, I thought he was overpriced. Now that he's coming down, I think he's at his more appropriate price. And I think he doesn't miss more than 2 to 4, I guess, to be the max games at this point.
To me, Rashee Rice, I think my main take has been like the tier from like after Garrett Wilson comes off the board to like after Waddle and Neighbors at the time, he's now moved up. Like, I thought that was just like one giant tier, and every single guy that was going at the front of the tier, I had sticker shock with. So like you with like Drake London recently, I was like that with Rashee Rice, but then you look around and I'm like, I can't make a strong case for like why you should take him over him. And so it was more just like, you have to take one wide receiver in that, 2 to 3 round range. And it's hard to argue with people who want to sort it one way or another, I guess is where I've settled on it.
I just hated the price tag because like the assumption to me the entire time was they were going to add somebody in free agency. They did somebody in the draft, which, we'll see what they add at draft capital. It does seem like the guys bring in for top 30 visits are kind of like lower draft capital guys. But to me, it was just like even the plan going into this year was that, he's going to run Travis Kelce kind of routes, which are going to be lower A dot routes. He's not going to have the downside kind of upside that, some of the guys in that offense have had, even though Justin Watson sucks, MVS sucks. Like, they're getting deep targets. I feel like that's the issue for me with Rice. And then you add in now the legal stuff. Like, I think he should be 40s, 50s. And if they add somebody in the draft who's good, like, he should be, I don't know, like 50s, 60s?
Yeah. Yeah, I agree with you. And I think what, because the next time we see like a true price for him will be after the draft, and whoever they take will certainly impact that a good bit, probably even more so than what's going to go on with the legal stuff, because we just see that drag out so many times. I mean, the Kamara stuff, I feel like just never took hold in impacting him in a real way. So someone took Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson. Wow.
Yeah, this room is weird. We have double elite tight end very early, which I agree with you. I like the bully tight end approach, but I like it kind of spaced out a little bit more with like guys in the top 10. Allen and Jackson, I hate, taking Allen that much unless you're really setting up kind of interesting Bill stuff. But Allen and Jackson, we're getting a unique room for you on stream, which I've learned this year. Like, the stream rooms are not the most fun. You have to make your pick on a card though. So here's the board.
Well, yeah, after this pick, I'm looking at the board here. Okay, this is gonna be Interesting. I have no clue about your preferences in this range. All right, I wrote down a name.
All right, I got Amari Cooper.
Fuck. I mean, I was going to write Amari or Marquise. I didn't know if you were going to be out on the old, so I wrote Marquise.
I'm down on Marquise. I think Marquise, for me, I think they're going to add somebody who might be better. Marquise being so bad in Arizona just left a bad taste in my mouth. I know it's still a better outcome being in KC, but like, what if he's just fancy MVS? I feel like that's my fear. Cheers.
So I agree with you. I want to be most bullish about the first round rookie they add, if they add a first round rookie. But I do think, like, portfolio wise, if you're wanting to like fade the Rashee Rice stuff, you know, because you think there's an impending suspension and stuff, I do also think you need to, you know, move Marquise Brown up accordingly, right? Because there still is the chance that they go another direction. They don't invest significant draft capital in a wide receiver. Like, I think that's a small probability, but it could happen, in which case Marquise Brown is set up really, really nice. And we've seen Marquise Brown operate as more than just a situational deep threat, you know, at certain points during his career where he's been able to earn targets at a high rate. So I want to make sure I have some exposure to that outcome.
People saying Cooper's sharp pick, nice price on Cooper. I agree with that. I get it with Marquise Brown. Like, I think just the thing that stuck out with me is Arizona wasn't bad last year. There are no spike week games. He's still a negative EPA per target guy while getting, you know, past the line of scrimmage kind of level targets. And I think that's what stands out for me with Marquise Brown. I feel like he's an Antonio Gibson to me, where he's like a very public player. People liked him in the past. He did some nice things maybe for people's like season-long fantasy football teams. And to me, those guys, like, it doesn't mean they're good forever. And he's better than Justin Watson and MVS, but I don't know how much that matters.
How do you feel about this take? And that would be that Amari Cooper's ADP would probably be like 2 to 3 rounds lower if Deshaun Watson played the whole season with him. And his ADP is boosted because he went fucking nuclear with Joe Flacco down the stretch, who is not going to be his quarterback this year.
Can Deshaun be good again? I feel like the bet you're making on Cooper is that Deshaun can be passable, at least if not good.
Yeah, I mean, that's why you take Marquise Brown, because you don't have to question whether Patrick Mahomes is going to be good. And you do have to question that with Deshaun Watson.
I guess that's fair. I feel like for Brown, though, it's just, you know, the Chiefs showed a preference to not, you know, to not throw the ball if they can last year, even though Mahomes is so great. I think that's the leap that great QBs make, is like they gain in efficiency, they lose in the fantasy kind of fun metrics. So I wanted Brian Thomas Jr.
Yeah, trust me, I know you did. Hey.
Okay. I was already writing
Brian Thomas down if he was there. I have my name down.
I have Deontay Johnson.
What? You're Deontay Johnson over Addison? Who the fuck are you, dude?
I'm out of here.
You wait, now you like all the old bad wide receivers?
He's not Jesus, old and bad. He played a lot better last months. Year. Now
can
he's going to
be an old slappy.
His God. Worst case is fancy Adam Thielen. His best case is like being a dude that matters. I think that
his best case scenario is a guy who produces a little weeks 1 through 10 and then does nothing for you in the fantasy playoffs. Sign
Dave
me up.
Canales,
in the sixth round.
You know this for a while though. Like, I believe in coaching upgrades. Dave Canales is like a massive upgrade. He got the most out of Baker. Baker was rejuvenated. Baker got a massive deal off of that too. So that's what I believe in, is that he's going to get the most out of Bryce Young. And as a result, Deontay Johnson is going to look good. And frankly, he recovered a lot in the analytics I look at last year, even with, you know, the play calling being whatever it was with Matt Canada. So I think he's got a shot, and we're down at wide receiver. Like, Brian Thomas would have been a lot
also,
better. I agree.
I feel this is how I feel. Even setting our arguments aside, the picks we get wrong should be alternating back. The ones that were wrong, you're just taking who you want every single time. Okay, like, how am I not getting one of these?
You're right. I'm controlling the board a little bit too much. I didn't know. We didn't agree on what the answer was for the picks.
We also agreed to write these down, and then you didn't show up. Some
that
of
was
us
not
did prep
the
work.
Text, Pete. That was not stated verboten, and it's like that. I couldn't just come off it off the top of my head. I thought we were just, you know, kind of spitballing.
All right, I'm going to read for the people, because I hate it when people try to pull receipts and they're wrong. What if we do a draft together, and before every pick, we each write down who we think we should take? Let the chat interpret that.
Okay, I'm looking at the text. You said write down, really?
Yes.
What if we do a draft together?
I was flashing on my phone, but it was right.
You did misspell right.
This doesn't absolve you of not saying write down.
I think I'm absolved. I think I was correct.
No, you're not.
Like, what if we're writing down? Like, what if we're just getting it right? You know, that kind of thing.
Get out of here.
All right, I'll defer to you on whatever the next one is. That is my promise, no matter what.
But Spags, you are missing the mission. You are like the person that plays apples to apples and can't get out of their own way. We are trying to meet in the middle, and you're just jamming your agenda down. I'm trying to actually guess who you're going to pick, and you're just like, I want Deontay Johnson.
All right, Chip saying misspelling right is tough. I agree. I mean, I'm a pizza busy man. I get it. Yeah,
Chipsy is like the most illiterate person in the entire Discord, and he's the one tossing strays at me. The dude, I've never seen a guy. He's the fucking president of run-on sentences. Get the fuck out of here, Chipsy.
And no, it was not like Jalen Wright. It was spelled like right, like right or wrong. So I got confused. It threw me off. I'm a man of perfect grammar, immaculate diction.
All right. Hang on. Let me see the full team, because now I have to start like baking in other considerations. Yes. Beyond
team reads. We have Devon Achane at running back, Amon-Ra St. Brown, T. Higgins, Amari Cooper, Deontay Johnson at wide receiver, tight end Sam Laporta. So we can go back to running back. We could do some fun bully tight end stuff.
No. The point is not to.
I'm setting it up for the people, not us.
Leave something to the imagination, Spags.
All right. Oh, yeah, you have to see the full board. Okay, so here's the board.
I need to be able to see the picks. I do.
It does help that I'm putting out too much content for Pete to keep up with. It's like the main thing. So there's some guys I love on the board right now, and you just don't know. I mean, there's one you know, but there's a couple you don't know.
All right, I wrote down the best pick for this team right now, and I hope you
agree. Is it Joe Burrow? Okay, yeah, we got to do it. It's fine. I love Brock Bowers, though. I'm in love with Brock Bowers. I think he's a great prospect. Him not doing athletic testing, he thinks he's Marvin Harrison. I get it, but I would like to see him be an athlete. It'd be the one risk.
Yeah, I like Bowers as well. But I think in these rooms too, like quarterback can get very dicey quickly. And I think getting Burrow there just helps us have a lot of patience, right? Because we can wait for an ADP value at our second quarterback. We can do a 2QB build if it breaks right. With guys like Watson and Bryce Young, you're open to very cheap three QB builds. I just kind of like the Burrow pick to open us up for a lot of other options.
Pete, would you agree or disagree with the take from Christopher? Spags argues like my girlfriend. Oh, I get out of it on insert technicality. I don't think that's fair. I think that'd be more a little child arguing than it would be like a girlfriend arguing.
It sounds exactly what I'm dealing with here, except I didn't let Spags get out of it.
We agreed on a pick here. We'll see what we agree on next. Any other macro takes you have this year? Like, I feel like the rookies, I've seen you be pretty evenly balanced on a lot of your stuff. So is there any like anything takey you have that I can yell at you about?
I mean, macro takes. Tons of elite tight ends, tons of zero RB and anchor RB builds.
Rookie wide receiver, is anybody you're leaning heavy on?
Xavier Worthy. I think every time I see any mock draft that has him out of the first round, I just laugh. It's become more of a consensus opinion over the past couple months, but it was not for a while. But now, like, I think even ETR put out like a prop bet, like Xavier Worthy first round pick. And my whole thing is like, we know all of the first round picks last year closed as top 84 picks. And like, you can still get guys like A.D. Mitchell and Xavier Worthy at times outside pick 100. Let me see here. All right. I am writing down a pick. Tell me who you think is the best player for this team.
David Njoku.
Wow. No, I said A.D. Mitchell.
Okay, I'll defer to you. I'll go A.D. Mitchell.
Well, so we have to get some like young, exciting players on this team after you fucking nuked it with Amari and Deontay Johnson.
I like, honestly, relative to Mitchell, relative to Worthy. Worthy, I can go with a little bit more. And Mitchell has some unique athletic things that I think I'm not all the way there on. Because
Worthy
like,
was gone.
Yeah, no, I agree. But like, yeah. I'm just saying analytically, like Worthy wasn't that great at Texas. Mitchell wasn't really that great at Texas. They like these things that I obsess over. I'd rather have Leggett later. I'd rather have McConkey a little bit later. Like, I'd rather have guys that are going to be producing. You know, for McConkey, he's just a great route runner. I don't agree with him being wide receiver 5. Like, I'm in the bag for, I guess I shouldn't say this to you, I'm in the bag for Troy Franklin, Pete. I think he's really good. I don't agree with him being wide receiver 10 in the class. Like, he produced at a high level, high target route run rate, also a high EPA guy. So, like, these are the guys I'm obsessed with more. So, I think you can hit wide receiver and get rookies later that are undervalued. Ricky Pearsall's coming up, but I was okay with him. So I think rookie to me is a choose your own adventure kind of thing.
Did you say you're McConkey over A.D. Mitchell?
Yeah, I mean, Mitchell's got elite athleticism. McConkey going to be a better route runner and I think going to earn targets at a better clip, but they're pretty even analytically, like in terms of the...
Okay, can I get you to agree to... Let me see if I can get you to agree to three things in a row. One, do you think A.D. Mitchell is going to go ahead of Ladd McConkey in the draft?
Yeah, I do.
Okay. Do you think when these guys hit, like let's just say like 90th plus percentile outcomes, do you think A.D. Mitchell's is more impactful for fantasy than Ladd McConkey's?
I don't want to defend Ladd this much, but I think A.D. Mitchell is just a better in best ball guy. I think he's poor man's Brian Thomas. I think he's honestly poor man's.
You're not answering my question though. Like that's like median scenario comps. I'm saying in their best possible outcomes, who hits harder for fantasy?
I think Ladd in full point PPR, Ladd does. I think
okay, Mitchell, this is fucking half point PPR. Where would we be talking about full point PPR?
I think that Mitchell can give you like those big, he catches a 160 yard touchdown. I think he's Jameson Williams. He's a less refined Jameson Williams, is how I feel about him.
Okay, you're still not answering my questions. The third one is on this team where we already have fucking the older version of Ladd McConkey and Deontay Johnson. We fucking swing for the fences with a guy who's going to get mid-20s draft capital. And when he hits in a massive way.
First of all, kudos to you for the cross-racial comparison. That's a tough enough. Deontay Johnson, Ladd McConkey, they're both there. I agree with Mitchell being a veteran basketball guy. I think he gets us younger. I'm with those things. I'm just not as excited about him as the athletic profile is. Like he and DK Metcalf are the only guys to be like 6'2 and have the combines they had. I get it. I wish he performed better in college is the main thing.
All right. I think you're too lost in the sauce and you just got to pick the best players right now. All right. I'm reading the board here. This could be simple. And it is no longer simple because I was going to write Trey Benson.
I would have been on board with Trey Benson.
All right. I am going to take a leap of faith. Who do you think is the best pick for this team right now?
Brian Robinson Jr.
Yes, let's go.
Okay, Brian Robinson Jr. Are you buying in on the signal that they want to give him the ball? I know you had the video, of course, of the comparing ranks and ADPs right now. I think Brian Robinson being the lead back. I also love them getting Jaden Daniels. I'm a big Jaden Daniels guy. So Robinson to me checks a lot of bells. Him at 100 is too cheap.
Yeah, I have zero issues with him in that range. I am not a believer in Austin Eckler, like eating into his workload in a meaningful way. It does like take away the pass catching upside, but it's like, that's not what you're drafting Brian Robinson for. You're going to get the early down carries. You're going to get the goal line work. And in a better offense than what they had last year. And he's going, what? This was his price last year as well. So I think he's like a perfect, like second running back in an anchor RB build or your first or second running back in a zero RB build.
Where are you with Jaden Daniels?
I like him. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, he's a nice guy too, when you're getting boxed out and you're like not having to worry about stacks. I mean, when you think about how many rushing quarterbacks after pick 100, or I should say quarterbacks with rushing upside, like Konami Code. I mean, there's like three of them. Like it's so hard to find the guys who could just smash that ADP and like, compare his ADP to Anthony Richardson's, like from Best Ball Mania, right? Like if you're getting some of that rushing, even like 70, 80% of what you got from Anthony Richardson, you're still getting it at what? Like a 7-round discount?
So we're coming up here with a pick. I think we should go up and get 12. Okay.
Well, hang on. I forgot to write this down here.
Yeah, you got to write something here. Look, here's the board. There's more guys down here. Is what I would say,
dude. I'm lost here. I'm just taking a shot in the dark. Who do you want?
I want Jaden Daniels.
Okay. Well, I didn't get the memo.
We were talking about him. He's gonna go before we pick next, I think, and I think he'll make us done at QB, and we get the rushing touchdowns from Washington. I would bet.
Spags, this is what I love about you. Like this whole. The whole bit of this stream is to just let the chaos wash over us. And you cannot bring yourself. I just got played because I was so naive. I thought you were just having a random tangent about Jaden Daniels. You were trying to fucking lead the witness. Guys, are you so worried about a team getting ruined that you're trying to fucking gaslight me into taking Jaden Daniels right
now? So here's the main thing is that I just want to catch up with you about guys that I love and Jaden Daniels I love because I think he's AR plus CJ Stroud. So I'm very bullish on him and I want you to be bullish on him because I think he's fantastic.
That's your comp. Anthony Richardson plus CJ Stroud.
Yes, that's it. I mean, analytically, that's the comp. Yeah, like at the numbers I look at and like obsessed by. Yeah, that's a comp.
Yeah, well, I think then you need to say pre-NFL draft CJ Stroud, because when you say Richardson and Stroud, people are going to color on rookie year CJ Stroud and what Anthony Richardson did.
I think they're both going to come. I think that's it. Like, I feel like one of my best things last year was I nailed rookies. I had most of my guys right. There were a few, like, I wasn't as bullish on Achane as I should be. That's the one thing I regret, but I still was in my portfolio. But analytically, like, to me, I look at Jane Daniels. I literally see CJ Stroud's numbers last year. I look at the rushing stats. He looks like AR. Like, I think he's the best of both. And I love Caleb Williams too. Like, I think Chicago takes a leap. Jane Daniels to me is like, he might be the fantasy QB one in terms of rookies and fantasy QB two or three, maybe in terms of the overall.
Well, CJ Stroud is pretty soon going to be the dynasty QB one. So if Jane Daniels is that plus Anthony Richardson, he's going before the draft even starts, which is impressive.
Which I think accounting for, you know, the risk profile, I get like Jaden should be lower now, but I will say one thing that made me feel good is like last year, I felt like AR should go ahead of Trevor Lawrence. Relative to ADPs this year, AR is going where that would have been last year. For Jaden Daniels, I think he's going to be a top three round guy next year, would be my guess.
How much of this for you is, because like a huge thing, right, is everyone is now assuming Jaden Daniels is going to Washington, which is a far better situation.
I have the entire time too, for what it's worth.
Than New England, which I still think that I'm not entirely convinced that's for sure. But if he were to go to New England, how much would you change your tune on Jaden Daniels' redraft excitement?
I think it doesn't matter where he goes. He's still going to be great no matter what. Washington would be easier because you already have Terry McLaurin there, who's a veteran deep ball target. Dotson, I think, can do enough underneath stuff. Adding Ertz. Like, I think they're doing kind of the poor man's version of what Chicago's doing, where you add some guys that are okay enough, give your guys some weapons coming in. But I think his talent is so strong. Like, the video parts of it look great. The analytics of him, like, he's a historical QB in terms of the analytics. And you add in the rushing stuff, there's a risk of him getting hurt like AR did last year, but I'm not going to ever dock a guy for that. I can't guess that he's going to get hurt. So besides that, I think he looks great.
Yeah. Other than that, Mrs. Lincoln, how did you like the play?
He gets hit hard. He gets like the Wile E. Coyote hits. I get it.
But. All right. No more fucking leading the witness. No more saying like it would really be nice to get our second tight end here. This kind of bullshit.
Here's the thing is that there's a player on the board I like a lot, but we need to get running back going too. So what's your pick?
Stop.
I'm doing it for the people, the content.
No, because who do you want? Who do you think is the best pick for this team? That's the question.
Devin Singletary.
Fuck. Okay, I picked Gus Edwards, and he's the pick because you got the last one.
Yeah, no, that's fine. I'll give you Gus.
Before you started playing your games, I knew you wanted Troy Franklin.
I love Troy Franklin, yeah.
I know you do. That's why I was going to try to read you. I'm playing poker. You're just fucking blasting off what you want to happen in this draft.
I'm just trying to build a nice team, and like we could have taken a receiver there. We need a running back more.
No, the goal isn't to draft. The goal is to draft a nice team together, Spags.
I think we're building a great team together. Let's read the team, Pete. What could we have done better with Joe Burrow, Jaden Daniels, Devon Achane, Brian Robinson, recording a market on Washington touchdowns? Gus Edwards, our RB3, went a little bit late there, maybe. Amon-Ra St. Brown, T. Higgins, Amari Cooper. We have some AFC North correlation. Deontay Johnson, Adonai Mitchell, and then Sam Laporta. We have QBs who could beat Jared Goff with Detroit stack. I think we've done some nice things.
Honestly, the only pick. So I have my issues with you are the process and how you're handling the premise of this show. The only pick that makes me visibly angry is the Deontay Johnson one. Other than that, I think this is a nice team.
Okay. Why are you down on Deontay Johnson? I feel like you defended him from me last year and he had a better year.
Well, you made my case for me. Like you're getting a poor man's Adam Thielen, which is something you can arbitrage like much later in the draft. Like you can even get a better version of Deontay Johnson and Tyler Lockett like 2-3 rounds later. I would rather take Ladd McConkey 3 rounds later, my comp, because I'm a woke genius when I try to do that. Like I'd rather get that kind of stuff, or even Curtis Samuel on Buffalo. Like if I'm just hunting targets and knowing I'm not going to get a lot of, you know, touchdown upside or true breakout upside, like I think I can get that later.
I just think Carolina moves up this year. Dave Canales, hunky OC coming into Tampa Bay last year, did the thing for Baker Mayfield. I think Carolina is going to save Bryce Young's career. But we're on the board here.
Hang on. I'm writing down again. We are answering collectively who is the best pick for this team right now.
I think it's Chuba Hubbard.
All right, let's go.
Okay, Chuba Hubbard. There we go.
See,
so do you think he wins the backfield, by the way?
So yes, I think he already won the backfield. I think the risk is if they, you know, spend a day two or day three pick on another running back, then I start to get really spooked. If they don't, like, Chuba's a smash here.
I like Chuba. I think that it being an open competition, I'm always going to try to take the cheaper back in an open competition, but they've had Jonathan Brooks in. They've had enough running backs in that it makes me worried they bring in anybody. Ray Davis would honestly upset that backfield enough too that makes me want to take Chuba later, but with where we took him with the bet on Deontay, I think it makes sense.
I'm with you. I haven't, I'm trying to see in this draft, where did Jonathan Brooks go?
He went, let's see.
Or has
he got to be coming up? Oh, he went at 104. So yeah, he's coming up now. People think he's going to play week one.
I normally am taking a ton of Jonathan Brooks where Chuba goes like in this range. So that was the only other thing. But like, holy cow, like Blake Corum, man, he went early in this one. Yeah, like Gus and Chuba are guys I like where they're my fallbacks if those rookies aren't there. Like if I can't get the Benson or the Brooks, then guys like Gus and Chuba feel pretty good.
Jerome Ford has been mine. I still like Charbonnet, but Ford I think is underpriced for a guy who's probably the between the 20s back to start the year. Nick Chubb comes back at some point, probably on the pup list, you would think, to start. I think Jerome Ford's undervalued to me, so I would still take him over Chuba in most builds, but obviously for us having Deontay Johnson, it's easier.
Deontay Foreman scared me because everywhere Deontay Foreman goes, like, he earns work. Like, Deontay Foreman was a big impediment to kind of like the Roschon Johnson thesis too, so I do worry a little bit about Ford. And when he was getting the volume last year, but it was kind of empty calorie stuff. They weren't using him a ton in the passing game. Then they were yanking him at the goal line for Kareem Hunt. And so I'm like, are they just going to do that all over again with Foreman? And I don't know. So yeah, he hasn't been a guy I've gravitated to as much.
Yeah, I get it. I think that if I agree with Foreman probably doing the Hunt role and taking the goal line work at the least, Ford to me just showed enough, and especially when I needed him the most, and my DraftKings like finalists on there were like Ford carried me through, I think week 16 in particular, and was okay week 17 too, or pretty good week 17. But Ford, I think, has upside. I don't know if Cleveland thinks he has upside, which is the incongruence, of course, everything we do. We had another pick coming up here, and Pete, the plug here, we are going to do the next stream on your channel. Are we going to do a draft too? Like, what are we doing for the...
I haven't been doing drafts lately. Just been chopping it up.
I'm happy just to chat too. I don't want to tease a draft. I just want to give the people what they're...
Yeah, I think I've had enough of drafting with you for one night.
I think we've made a great team here, and we're going to make a great one coming up. Some nice picks on the board. Honestly, I don't even know where we're going to go here, so I'm actually curious.
I am going to probably end up having to ask you to start scrolling down a little bit just so I can see some options here.
We're going down too far here.
Yeah, scroll back up. I'm going to write down this. See, this is where we're getting into dicey territory. All right, who do you think is the best pick for this team right now?
I think Mims.
See, all right. I went with a scroll down when you scrolled. I did Ricky Pearsall. When you had
okay, Pearsall, if I could get him in, I'll do it. We got him in. The clock is weird tonight, so that's the issue for us. But you got Pearsall. Okay, Pearsall, honestly, the underdog guys being very under him. I will say with Pearsall, my brain block is that I thought AR made him last year, and this year I saw Pearsall with a much worse QB and was like, shit, Pearsall might actually be kind of good. So I'm with you. I think he and Roman Wilson very similar plays though.
And I think for me, again, I'm more like agnostic on like these guys. Like I don't have strong opinions on like Roman Wilson versus Ricky Pearsall versus Xavier Legette. But to me, this team needs some like rookie wide receiver upside. Right now, like I feel like we have a good veteran core. We only had five wide receivers through 12 rounds. And so now I want to start taking some upside shots. And Mims is a hard one. Obviously, I was in love with him last year. You know, Sean made a good case for him recently, and I still feel like Sean Payton has already kind of showed his hand, and whether that's he doesn't actually like Mims as much as he thought he did when he drafted him, or Mims isn't as good as his prospect profile indicated. I just kind of want to get better at like taking the information we got, which is one full season, And it's either like Sean Payton is the biggest donkey in the world, like, which could be true, or Marvin Mims isn't as good as I wanted him to be. And I'm kind of just defaulting to the latter right now.
I feel like Payton, and I'll let you see the screen here so you can make your pick. I feel like Payton was saying that Judy was the blocker, and that's the main part I read from what Payton said, was that Judy was blocking Mims from getting routes. They then trade Judy. I think Mims has a shot, but depends what they do in the draft. And shouts this chat from Christopher here. Pete's going to write down his pick. Just toss my dinner. This bloodbath killed my appetite. The bloodbath continue here. We need another pick.
Best pick for this team right now.
Kate Otten?
Let's go.
Okay.
To me, Otten, and I've talked about this with Corain, I feel like Otten is like the last of kind of a tight end tier. There's definitely some flyers. I don't mind. But this, I still feel like we could rock an Otten Laporta as a two tight end build. Or if we really like a value, we could go three. But I like adding Otten here.
Yeah, Tampa Bay has brought in some tight ends for top 30 visits, which have kind of made me wonder a little bit about Kate Otten. But he came on strong last year. I'm okay on a bet on Tampa Bay. And honestly, I guess they haven't brought in as many tight ends as I thought. They brought in Theo Johnson. They brought in like three tight ends. I think they brought in Sennett too. Tanner McLaughlin. Yeah, they brought in cheap tight ends. So probably Otten's safe in the draft.
Yeah. Let's see.
Do you want to give the team a read?
Let's read the team. I actually need it too to help reorient me on what we need to do.
All right. So Joe Burrow, we got a slight discount. Jaden Daniels is like ahead of ADP. We got Devon Achane, Brian Robinson, hopefully correlating with Jaden Daniels, Gus Edwards, Chuba Hubbard. So probably have to make it up a little bit at running back. Wide receiver, Amon-Ra St. Brown, T. Higgins, Amari Cooper, Deontay Johnson, Adonai Mitchell, Ricky Pearsall, a unique wide receiver room. Sam Laporta, Kate Otten. We have QBs. It could be Goff, which I think is a positive with the Detroit stack. We have Achane being our anchor. Wide receiver room's weird, is what I'll give you.
Yeah, I mean, structurally, I think we're in good shape. You know, we're not really behind the eight ball at any position, which if you're trying to agree via 3x5 note cards, that's a good spot to be.
Should I pull up the board so you can start to prepare? Should I?
Yeah, I mean, this is a, you know, clearly a pretty gross range. So
we have optionality at positions though. Like we could go RB, we could go wide receiver.
How about this for these picks? Because I don't want to say like, let me see you running back. How about you give me individual of each position as we go?
Okay. I would be okay at, oh boy. I'd be okay with Keaton Mitchell.
No, what are you doing? No.
Oh, I thought you wanted me to name guys that you.
No, I'm saying go through each individual. Oh, just like one by one.
Okay, I'll show you.
Yes. You're going to destroy the premise of the show.
I was going to name a bunch of guys to try to pare it down. Like, if I gave you eight guys, it wouldn't have been enough to really help.
Okay.
And then here's QB too, in case you need it.
Yeah. All right. What are we picking in?
This is a tough spot, I gotta say. I don't enjoy this spot.
Yeah. I don't either. Can you give me a little scroll again too?
Yeah.
On this main thing here. Man. Absolutely.
It's a brutal one to choose between.
All right, I have no confidence in this one. We're going to be drinking. Who do you think's the best pick for this team?
Keaton Mitchell.
I put Rico. I mean, you had already said Keaton. You had already said Keaton, and so I was like, is he going to really just say the thing?
Because I think we have enough early season production that we could take a shot on him siphoning a few touchdowns away in the back half of the year. But I don't think we had a good RB pick there. Like Dowdle to me is coming down. Like somebody's going to go there. Benson, Brooks, whoever, Irving, hopefully.
So what we're at a 2.57 or
2.562. Yeah. So Burrow, Jaden Daniels, a QB running back, Devon Achane, Brian Robinson Jr., Gus Edwards, Chuba Hubbard, and Rico Dowdle, wide receiver, Amon-Ra St. Brown, T. Higgins, Amari Cooper, Deontay Johnson, Adonai Mitchell, Ricky Pearsall, tight end. We're good. Sam Laporta, Cade Otten. I guess you could add a third with Cade, but don't have to.
Okay. And so what do we have? Four or five more picks?
We have five more picks.
Okay.
You're heading to round 16 here.
I feel like we're going to be doing a lot of drinking. these next five things.
I have to pee so bad. I couldn't set the redirect, by the way, because I had to ask you for permission. I was like, I don't want to text Pete at 7 o'clock on a Saturday. Can I get permission to your channel? So we're not redirecting here, but they can go over, obviously, youtube.com/@PeterOverzet would be the channel.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, we can. I can drop the link in the chat too.
Yeah, please. Actually, I can grab it too. Yeah, I've had too many beers. That's the thing about beer, right? Where you start drinking beers and you have to pee. That's the least fun part about streaming and drinking beers, I would say.
Well, Spags, I mean, I know you don't, trust me like on the airwaves without you around here. But if we need to make this pick, I might get nervous without you talking to the chat, but I do think I could maybe manage.
Well, you can't make the pick though, so that's the issue.
One sec. All right, who do you think is the best pick for this team right now?
Keaton Mitchell.
Okay, yeah.
Okay, so
my handwriting is getting worse. It's like I did some like Japanese character over the E there.
You're in Shogun mode. You're the engine who's coming.
Oh, I forgot to tell you. So like April's like vocab is exploding right now, and she'll just like repeat anything we say. And so Lauren and I, and she also speaks in like very hard syllables. And so Lauren and I have gotten her to start saying Shogun, and it's so funny. Like, well, she'll now, like, we'll be talking about, she'll hear Lauren and I say like Shogun, and she'll just go Shogun, like, because she says like Shogun. It's so
like that, she says it like the war chief or whatever.
Yeah,
fucking name.
Because
Torinaga, she says like Torinaga. That's the impression. That's what it sounds like. Yeah, Luca repeats everything, but he has not repeated curse words. I don't know why. That's the one blocker, but like everything else, he's like, oh, like dad gonna take out garbage, and he'll repeat that. He doesn't say dad's gonna fucking do this. Like, he doesn't do that part for some reason.
Yeah, I've done a pretty good job of censoring my tongue around her. She pronounces fox. She sees, the fox in her book exactly like fox. She's just fox. Yeah.
What are you most proud of so far in terms of like what's filled you the most with joy watching that experience?
I mean, it is just how verbal she is. Like she is like when we took her to one of the classes, like, there's a bunch of like 14 to 16 month olds, and she's the only one that when they go around like says her name, and like in the group they say, and like, what's your name? And so like when she does like April, like in front of everyone, like I just fucking melt. Like half it's just adorable and half like a sense of pride that she's ahead of the curve that way.
It's funny when they do everything in the third person, like for Luca, everything is like Luca does blah blah blah. And it's like he's fucking Ricky Henderson and MLP in the 90s.
It's very cute though.
Like those the verbal things, I agree, especially for people like us where it's like you make your living communicating, like for them to start communicating and also having little personalities and jokes, like I think that's kind of the joy.
Yeah. Yeah, the other day she said Deontay Johnson is dust, and I was just so proud.
She's probably like, Deontay Johnson really rebounded last year. Great trade. Bryce Young, big help.
Great trade, big help. Now you're acting like she's like English as a second language speaker.
And toddlers aren't that far off.
Yeah, I know. Great trade, big help. Do big things for team.
We have a 2662 going into this round. We have some optionality here. We don't need another QB, but we got Bryce Young potentially.
Shut up. Go through the tabs.
Oh, good. Okay. You're running back, wide receiver, tight end.
This is a disaster. Who do you think is the best pick for this team right now?
Bryce Young.
I picked Javon Baker.
Okay. Do I have enough time? Wait, no. Baker's a wide receiver. Oh my God. No, we're going to take Bryce Young. I win this round.
Okay. I just want everyone to know there were two players at the top of the queue, Bryce Young and Javon Baker. And Spags pretended like he couldn't find Javon Baker as if I named a guy who was 50 picks down.
I thought he was further down. I didn't realize he was on this point of the board. It is a drunk stream, Pete. Sometimes your visibility is limited.
Go to the bathroom. Jesus.
No, I won't. Because if I miss the pick, then we can't make a pick. That's the downside. I wish I could even control the entire board. If I would, I could. I'll give the team a read here. Let's recenter us. We have a 3662 now, so we got to make it up a wide receiver, perhaps. Joe Burrow.
Yeah, because someone wanted to take Bryce Young to stack with his pick. That's the problem with the Diontae Johnson. It's a compounding mistake pick.
But we also had Chuba. So we have a good bet on Carolina where you might as well throw the QB in. He could beat Joe Burrow. He can maybe beat Jaden. Running back, though, Devon Achane, Brian Robinson Jr., Gus Edwards, Chuba Hubbard, Rico Dowdle, Keaton Mitchell. Maybe got a little thin in the back half there. Wide receiver, Amon-Ra St. Brown, T. Higgins, Amari Cooper, Deontay Johnson, Adonai Mitchell, Ricky Pearsall. Very disciplined at receiver with our picks. We got five in the top 100, have dialed it back. Tight end, Sam Laporta, Kate Otten. Here's what I'll say. I think we managed draft capital well. I think wide receiver still feels like we could use some help.
Here's the thing. We now are in full agreement, and God, I hope this is true. We are done with quarterback. So filter off a quarterback on the board when I look over there to see what our options are.
Okay. We're on the board here. Here's QBs.
I just said I don't need to see QBs.
Here's running backs.
Well, ain't that a sight for sore eyes?
Here's wide receivers.
Uh-huh.
And here's tight ends.
Okay. Hang on. Can you do running back, wide receiver, tight end, and scroll down? Okay. Can you go to just tight end? Like, I can't tell if this guy's still on the board, and I don't know how to do it in a clever way. Will you scroll down? All right. So Mike Gesicki's gone, right? That's what I'm trying to figure out here.
Yeah, he's gone.
All right. Then I can quit this charade. God damn it. All right. I'm writing down a name. Who do you think's the best player on this team?
Tank Bigsby.
I wrote Tucker Kraft. Take who the fuck, whoever you want.
All right. We need a running back more. I'm taking Tank here. There's been enough signal for Tank of, you know, they want to give somebody work who's not ATN. I don't know if it's going to be Bigsby. He was awful last year in a way that was hilarious, but he's maybe won't be less awful in year two. To be the hope.
All right. Just filter this. What do you want to see? Let's just quit the charade.
We can do Tucker Kraft. I'm happy to do Tucker Kraft next round if you want. If you want to make that play.
I've moved on. I have a name. I'm writing down the name right now. And I'm writing it down with such conviction that I want you, by the time we pick next, to have arrived at who the best pick is for this team. And I want you to do some deep introspection. I want you to look at this team. I want you to figure out, what have we already done on this team? What do we need positionally? What ties the room together?
See, I feel like you're leading me now, and I don't know what you're leading.
No, because if I was leading you, you would know who I was talking about. I speak in riddles. I'm like Torunaga. I'm cryptic. You're my falcon, and I want you to be my peregrine.
Oh, boy. All right. I don't know where you wanted to lead us. I see interesting picks. Well, I mean, it depends what's there.
I want you to think critically. Talk through our team.
All right. So our team, we're good at QB. We got everybody stacked up theoretically here to some amount. So I feel like we're okay at QB. Running back, I could add Nath. The running back room is not great. Achane's got to carry a lot of water for the seam, and Brian Robinson, I suppose. Wide receiver, we definitely need more wide receiver. That's not... No disagreement there. I mean, I see a wide receiver that might be interesting, perhaps.
You're not going to... Well, okay. Maybe you will. I've had this written down forever.
Okay. I think I know who would make sense for the team. I hope you agree.
That's the hope.
Let's see. We got Raisin, who's a regular. We got Rackham Willie, who I don't know. SM7817, I don't know.
Because I've already written it down, I want you to hypothesize. Talk out who you think you're
getting. Do we want to spoil it, though, for these two guys who might hear?
I don't care.
Trey Palmer, because we have a bet on Tampa Bay. So we're getting the ancillary Tampa Bay bullshit.
See, this is why... Specs, I agree with the concept of stacking. Maybe try thinking about it through the lens of one of our fucking quarterbacks.
Who do you want?
Spags? I want Andre Yoshivas.
Yoshivas? Really? Yoshi?
Come on. Yes.
All right. But like,
wait, T. Higgins Yoshivas is the Cincinnati version of Trey Palmer. And
we took T. Higgins. T. Higgins is the blocker for Yoshivas.
No, he's not.
Yoshivas maybe gets some slot work. They're probably going to get a slot guy in the draft.
Yoshivas is not a pure outside wide receiver like T. Higgins.
I mean, Yoshivas is a pure wide. That's what he was last year. He wasn't a slot guy last year. I mean, Boyd blocked everybody. I'll admit that. But I think they're going to bring in somebody else. And I think if anybody wins the slot, it's Charlie Jones. Charlie Jones is like a pure slot guy.
Trey Palmer plays outside and he's blocked by Mike Evans. Come on.
And he did, but he ran the slot last year. So we at least saw him do it. I thought we were just making a correlation with that, but we are making a different correlation.
You're two in the sauce on PFF alignment data. Just correlate and enjoy the profits later.
All right, well, we disagreed. So I'm drinking now. I did not drink for that one.
Oh, I'm drinking for a lot of reasons.
Here we go. Charlie is saying, I've missed this. You know what, guys? Let's give some plugs. Hey, number one, another draft coming up on Peach Channel in a moment. We're just going to kibitz on there, I guess is what I'm going to say. And also here on Splash Play, subscribe, hit the like button here. Splash Play now on that March to 4K subs. Of course, we hit 3K on here, 15K on Peach Channel. You're at 16, 17 now? Where are you at?
I don't know. I've moved.
You don't
on
know
to
the vanity metrics offhand. You're not jerking off to your subscriber count.
No, the one I refresh regularly is the Deposit Kingdom. That's the one I'm trying to run up. Really? I'm at 16.8 on.
Okay, so yeah, you're cruising 20K on Insight this year.
Go to wide receiver.
Okay. Who do you like?
Scroll down.
You're fucking in the bag for Khalif Raymond. I would take Johnny Wilson.
All right. I wrote down Luke McCaffrey.
Luke McCaffrey. All right. I'll give you Luke McCaffrey here. I don't have a lot of Luke McCaffrey shares. Final team here at 3-7-8-2. We have Joe Burrow, Jaden Daniels, Bryce Young at QB. Running back, Devon Achane, Brian Robinson Jr., Gus Edwards, Chuba Hubbard, Rico Dowdle, Keaton Mitchell, Tank Bigsby. Wide receiver, Amon-Ra St. Brown, T. Higgins, Amari Cooper, Deontay Johnson, A.D. Mitchell, Ricky Pearsall, Yoshivas, and Luke McCaffrey. Tight end, Sam LaPorta, Kate Otten. Where do we go wrong, Pete, besides Luke McCaffrey?
I mean, Luke McCaffrey, what kind of odds will you give me on Luke McCaffrey outscoring Deontay Johnson this year? Will you give me 100-1?
God, I would, but I don't want to take the bet.
What will you give me?
2-1 is what I'd give you.
2-1? That means if you're giving me 2-1.
I don't want minus money bet. What are you fucking betting app? It's all plus money shit you're trying to hit.
Come on.
I'm not thinking minus money on that.
Give me 50-1. 50-1
is their odds. I don't want to bet you 51. I give you 51.
Luke McCaffrey might not even play a snap this year.
I don't like Luke McCaffrey's gonna luck box all the bullshit like Christian has. I don't need that. Pete, what are the plugs here? It's Splashly. What are we?
Spags is so worried about Deontay Johnson that he won't give me 50-1 on Luke McCaffrey.
No, I don't want because I don't want to pay you. If we're betting $50, I'm gonna pay $2,500 or whatever.
but Spags, I will. What do I got? 50-1? Yeah, that sounds great. I'll give you.
No, $50. That's an awful deal for me. I want a good dude.
That's a free $50.
I don't have enough to pay for Luke McCaffrey bets.
Come on.
I'm not a book.
I love this bet. Everyone tells Spags he's an idiot to not take this free $50.
No, I don't want your free $50. I don't want to, it's not a probably bet. The probably score would be negative on this one.
I mean, this is free money. You could just throw this in a VTI.
Deontay Johnson tears his hamstring in July, and Luke McCaffrey has one pass.
But we could have an injury clause. Get out of here. All right. What did you ask me?
Yeah, so where are we going next, Pete, after I pee?
Yeah, we're doing Best Ball After Dark on my channel. If you're a YouTube member, any level, normally it's Best Ball Value Hounds. I set it to any level because I forgot to set it in the first place. Spags and I are going to catch up. And if I know Spags well, he will be open and honest in a way that he probably even shouldn't be. So that would be my selling point.
Pete knows me too well. Pete, I appreciate you so much for what you've done for me and my journey here as well as Splash Play. Glad to be doing another stream with you coming up in an hour. So follow Pete here. It's in the pinned comments, description as well. Hit the join button for Pete's channel. Get on board there. And any final words here, Pete, to the Splash Play people that we roped them into you and now they're stuck with me.
They are. No, I appreciate everyone watching. Thank you to all of you guys, specifically the Squirt Squad, for everything you guys do for Spags and the Deposit Kingdom.
All right, guys, we'll see you on the next channel. See you in a few minutes. Bye.
Peace.